So today we celebrate the solemnity of the birth of John the Baptist. In Luke's Gospel, in the verses immediately preceding today's Gospel, the angel Gabriel appears to the Jewish priest Zechariah and announced that his barren wife, Elizabeth, would bear a son. The angel directed that the son was to be named John. John will be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Gospel continues, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. But Zechariah doubted the word of the angel, and so was made mute. When the child was born and the time comes to name the child, Elizabeth and Zechariah are put to the test. Will they follow the direction of the angel or follow cultural custom? Among the Jews at the time, it was customary to give firstborn boys names that would link them to their ancestors, to their fathers and their fathers' fathers. But this elderly couple chose a name foreign to their family. They did so because that is what God asked them to do through the message of the angel. This fidelity to God's will, in this case, was not easy. It caused a stir among their neighbors. It wasn't the comfortable and acceptable thing to do. It meant bucking social convention and becoming vulnerable to gossip. But Elizabeth and Zechariah did what God wanted them to do anyway. And as a result, two wonderful things happen. First, Zechariah miraculously recovers his speech, which he had lost when he doubted the angel's message 9 months before. And second, the whole region is thrown into an awestruck admiration of God, just as the angel Gabriel announced would happen. And so, Elizabeth and Zechariah's faithfulness to God's will, in spite of social pressure, plants the seeds that John the Baptist will later harvest when he begins his mission of preaching and baptizing. Whenever God makes his will known to us through the voice of conscience, church teaching, or even strong interior inspirations of the Holy Spirit, he does so for a reason. Our obedience will draw us closer to God personally, which is the secret to lasting happiness. It will also cause a domino effect of grace and blessing to all those around us. Trusting obedience to Christ and his church is always the best policy. God's way, even when it might require self-sacrifice, is definitely the best way. One person who understood this truth better than anyone else in history is the Blessed Virgin Mary. As a young woman, she had her plans. She was engaged to be married to Saint Joseph. I'm sure she was well respected by family and relatives and friends. She had a great reputation in her city. She was looking forward to a faithful marriage and a life with fervent dedication to God, a simple and peaceful life, the very best kind of life that could be hoped for in ancient Palestine. And then one day, an angel shows up and tells her that God has a different plan for her. God wants her to be the mother of our Messiah. Now, Mary was smart. She knew that accepting God's plan would mean scrapping all of her plans. She knew that she would lose her reputation. She knew that she would risk losing her fiancé, as well as the possibility of getting another one. She knew that Jewish law would even permit her to be stoned or exiled if she was found pregnant out of wedlock, as God was asking of her. She knew all of that. And what did she say? I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to God's will. She trusted that God's way was the best way. And later in the Gospels, Jesus uses her as an example, as a model for all of us, when he reveals the secret to happiness. Blessed are they, he says in Luke chapter 11, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. One of the strongest influences that tends to keep us from doing God's way is peer pressure. Peer pressure doesn't just affect kids and teenagers. It's a factor for every one of us. Peer pressure, though, is not actually pressure from peers, from others. Rather, it's pressure that we put on ourselves when we care too much about what other people think of us. Many times we are afraid that if we don't go along with the right crowd, we may end up being cut off from the crowd. Whether this means wearing the right clothes, driving the right car, going to that perfect vacation spot that everybody else seems to be going to, or even taking part in sinful activities. On the other hand, there is a natural kind of peer pressure that can actually help us to follow Christ. For example, if our good friends also happen to be good Christians, we would be wise to value their opinion about our decisions. Sometimes we are more vulnerable to temptation than we realize, and the fear of disappointing someone who is morally upright can shield us from sin. But even that only works for a little while. If we are motivated mainly by what others think of us, we can never develop the inner strength and peace, because what other people think of us is not always right, wise, or dependable, but what Christ thinks is. If Christ is our compass, we are assured of both arriving safely to the harbor of heaven and of a deeply fulfilling and meaningful, though not always easy, life on earth. Christ wants to be our sure guide. His way is the best way. He wants us to be free from the chains of peer pressure. He wants us to have the courage and the strength to say yes to God's will, just as Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary did. And so when he comes to us in Holy Communion, let us tell him that we want that same strength and courage, the same grace. Let us say, in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "Here I am, Lord. I've come to do your will."